We are joined by the good folks at the Lakeville Journal every Thursday at this time. We take a look at the stories that are in the Lakeville Journal. And this week, I really also want to talk about a story that's in the Millerton News. But let's welcome in Janet Manco. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have the trio at the Journal offices.
Yeah, I'm going to let Janet do the introduction of John Costin.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let Janet do the introduction of John Costin.
Yes, we have a trio at the Lakeville Journal office because we have a new edition. And, you know, I think that our readers and our listeners know that we've been in transition for the past few months looking for a new editor so Cynthia Hoxwinder could step back and do Compass Only. Well, we have found the person who has stepped up to do that, and we're thrilled. His name is John Costin. We have the story about him in the paper this week. He lives in East Canaan and knows the area well and worked for 30 years at the Wall Street Journal, so has a deep knowledge of journalism and also for local journalism. So welcome to John, and he will be part of our group moving forward.
John, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hello, John.
Hello.
All right. Well, with the welcome out of the way, guys, I know that it's this week in the Lakeville Journal, but there's a big story that you're covering on the Millerton News side, and that is the future of the Millerton Police Department. So I just wanted to give kudos to people to make sure they look at that article if they're on the New York side of the border. I think it's been a pot that's been boiling for about 6 or 7 years. And now it's about to come to a head.
That's right. Caitlin Lyle has a story about the meeting where Millerton talked about going to the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office for coverage for their police protection rather than having a local force. And we also have an interview with the Millerton mayor on dissolving the Millerton Police Department. That's by Whitney Joseph. Don't miss these two stories. They're relevant to, of course, everyone on the New York State side of the line and in Millerton, but also to anyone who travels through Millerton to know what's happening with their police coverage. They're really thorough and important stories.
They are, and it's funny. I spoke to Jen Nijak the day before yesterday, right after the meeting took place, and I gave her some information, and she got me back. She says, "Where'd you get that?" So I said, "Well, I hate to tell you this, but once again, that was on Facebook because these meetings drew immediate reactions. So
they're
very, 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 very busy, and I'm sure that there's going to be many letters to the Millerton editor, Millerton News next week." Let us move forward now and go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. We've got the story on the Regional Health Center plan for North Canaan. Hopefully shovels on the ground sometime this summer, and hopefully in a year we'll have a much-needed facility.
I think the backhoe is in the ground now. this is a big deal. You don't see too many $5 million projects of any kind in our towns. And with the, shall we say, uncertainty about health services at the moment, this is good news.
You know, it's really good news, and it shows you the foresight that the Foundation for Community Health and the health center itself, they began negotiations and working on this years ago when it wasn't quite so acute, and now it's an acute problem, and it's an acute problem that will begin to start to have a little kind of an answer within the next year or so. So kudos to everybody who started this project years ago, and it's come to the fruition now, and also to Maria Horn and the state legislature, because they finally approved that money, I think, last week that will go towards, I think it was $3 million that will go towards this project. And we got the note from Lisa Carter. Mass strongly recommended at North Canaan School, and Region 1 also had its, I think, highest day of COVID reporting outbreaks in a while earlier this week. Patrick, let's talk a little bit about that story.
Yeah, that's no sooner had we put the paper to bed than, you know, 2 hours later we get the message from Region 1 that they had an unusually high single day number of cases, and that they were going to go to the strongly recommended mask routine for the whole of Region 1. I think you're going to see this back and forth for the foreseeable future. There's just too many variables. They're doing the best they can, and they have to react to circumstances, and this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, it's something that we're going to have to live with for quite a while, because one variant comes, one variant goes, another variant comes, another variant goes. And the school district not only has the parents and the students to worry about, and the teachers and the employees and the bus drivers, but they also have to check in with the state and all the health agencies and get determinations from them. So you're right. They're doing the best they can in an awkward situation. I want to go down to another story on the front page, which is something we've been following for years and years and years and years. The EPA now will monitor PCBs along the river in Northwest Corner. I don't know it's taken them so long, because there's been so much PCBs to the north of us. So who wants to take that story?
They've monitored PCBs. It's not completely new. But this is the first time they've actually said, okay, this is going to be the site in Connecticut is going to be one of the half a dozen official monitoring sites. So we're going to have more information than we had before. But prior to this, I think it was kind of sporadic. So we'll know more. But again, I spend a lot of time in that river. Irritating aquatic creatures, and it wouldn't even occur to me to eat one of them. And I don't think it's safe, and I don't think anybody should do it.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and that comes from somebody who's, like you say, Patrick, you're on the river a lot fishing, not only the Housatonic River, but streams around our area. Next story to talk about, and this is out of Millbrook, and that is learning ways to identify trees by telltale clues.
This was important to me because I am a lousy tree identifier. For someone that spends as much time in the woods chasing trout around as I do, I really ought to be able to go beyond the difference between, say, a pine tree and a birch, but I can't. So this was good for me personally.
Yeah, I can tell the difference between a pine tree and a birch. Where I come in is when it comes to plants, I have no idea. Someone once walked into the office and said, "What's the name of that plant?" And I said, "Seymour." I have no idea what variety it is, but I have no idea what plant it is.
You have personal relationships with them.
That's exactly right. I have no idea. I want to mention a story that's on page A2 in blue, and that is the Salisbury Rotary Club is joining in the day of service in our area. As a matter of fact, Patrick, cleaning up along riverbanks and various areas in our tri-state area, especially in Northwest Connecticut.
Yeah, they'll be out, and I'll be there taking pictures of happy volunteers filling their garbage cans with garbage bags with beer cans and the other ephemera that seems to develop. It's a good thing to do, and what can I say about it? It should probably be done more often.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Three stories that are kind of linked because they're all about money. And one is the Berkshire Taconic Foundation spring grant deadlines are around here, the scholarships for locals from Salisbury Bank, and also the real big one, which is the Fine Arts School Tuition Aid scholarships for Housatonic Valley Regional High School. These are three stories that show opportunities for different nonprofit organizations, businesses, students, and even in Sharon, a grant for nonprofits as well.
So this is something we always put on our A2 page. People should definitely look for it. It's that time of year for students who make, there's a lot of grant money available, and for a wide variety of different student types. You don't have to be the class valedictorian. Just everybody should keep an eye on these applications, and they're here for our students. They should definitely apply.
All right, and I love the picture out of Kent, the pollinator poster that was put together.
Yes, that This is John. That was Lance Christensen was driving by and saw that, and we discovered that the Kent Land Trust manager, Clark Gifford, sort of created that installation, and it worked perfectly along with our story about Kent's eyeing how to cut back on mowing. The story sort of explains a positive approach to giving flora and fauna sort of a break. I think we'll see how well the town manages with that kind of an initiative, because while it's nice to have a pollinator pathway partnership, you also have to deal with highways and roadsides. But this was a great picture.
All right. Now, moving on to a couple of stories out of Sharon. We'll start with River Road. Once again, the problem that plagued the Falls Village, Salisbury area last summer, that is parking on the roads, which really creates a dangerous situation for pedestrians and for ambulances or emergency trucks that might have to get through.
Yeah, I think it was interesting to read how Leila kind of described the way that vehicles kind of wiggle their way around each other to get into that site, and it definitely is something that is going to become another sort of issue this summer.
All right, and along with that, the Sharon Town Hall parking lot finally is going to see work done it, and that includes EV charging, lighting, and a replacement also of the ramp here, and an expansion, by the way, of the parking lot, which will add a lot of different spaces to that parking lot. Who wants to handle that story?
Well, I'll just say that it is definitely timely to start to put in EV charging. There is a strong demand now for electric vehicles, partly because oil prices have now gone through the roof, and gasoline rather, and so people are really desperate to get a break on that. So it's exciting that Sharon will have an EV charging setup. There's one in North Canaan, the Stop and Shop, but I think that's strictly for Tesla. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move on to your story, Patrick. Artists, artisans, and archaeologists.
I am a unabashed fan of Eric Veden's video series. He's been doing it for quite a while now, and I think I've seen every single one. And over the years, he's developed a very quirky interview style, and if you're used to cable TV news sort of shove the microphone in your face and yell style, it's going to seem a little placid. but once you get into the groove of these things, they're really, really interesting. And the one he tends to, in this one, he was at the with these Alistair Jones making wooden bowls, and then they're decorated by Shari Horowitz. And I find watching a craftsman of any kind at work one of the most fascinating things in the world. Their movements are really concise. They don't waste any materials. You can tell they've been doing it a long time. And I remember as a kid working in a hardware store, watching a really experienced guy cutting a very tricky piece of glass for a complicated window, and just watching how he did it. And it's never left me. So Eric specializes in that kind of thing. Although if you want to see pure comedy, find the one where he trailed me around fishing. I absolutely wore him out.
All right. Right next to that story is a story about organic farming successes. It's entitled Feeding the Soil and Not the Crop.
Yeah, that was a talk from Jana Siller at the Isabella Friedman Jewish Retreat Center in Falls Village that Matthew covered for us. And well, this is almost, this is kind of like watching an artisan at work, hearing her explain this. I knew most of this stuff, sort of, but to hear it all laid out in a very concise and logical way like that makes me wish that I had a vegetable garden, which I don't. But if I did, I would do this.
All right. You know, I want to go to the obituary page, and because Bill Flint passed away. And the reason I mentioned Bill Flint is in my adult life, my cars were always provided for me, my mother co-signing, my mother getting them, or hand-down cars. And when I moved back to this area, I purchased my first new car ever from Bill Flint. And it was a Ford Probe that I got fully loaded. And I remember I was shaking when I was signing the loan thing because it turned out to be a 20-some thousand-dollar car. But Bill Flint sold a lot of cars to a lot of people around here, and he'll be missed. He was a great guy.
And, of course, condolences to his lovely wife, Dot, who everybody loves, but also important obit for Paul Roy, who recently retired from North Canaan and was awarded his own mower that he loved so much.
Yeah, all right. Now let's go on to North Canaan. I'd hate to be on any finance board, but to be on the finance board in North Canaan and take a look at the hikes in both the selectmen's budget, the Region 1 budget, there's got to be a lot of sleepless nights there.
Yeah, they've got a tough, they've got a very delicate situation, what they're going to do. And I actually was watching their Housing Plan Steering Committee, I think it's called, last night, and the first selectman alluded to it, and how they're you know, trying to thread this particular needle. So it's going to take them a while. I mean, this is very early in their process. Salisbury's about done. They'll have this thing wrapped up right around the same time, either the day before or the day after the Region 1 referendum. And that's something I've observed over the years, which is Salisbury's always first, and Falls Village and North Canaan are always last, and I don't know why.
Well, I think Sharon's going to be in the race for last, the way things are going in Sharon as well. But, yeah, Falls Village, a 4.12% increase in town spending. Boy, we are in tough times right now, and I think all the towns should be grateful for all the funding that has been coming through with the American Rescue Plan Act, because it's given all the towns some leverage and some leeway to get through some tough times.
The other thing that gives them a little wiggle room is that the grant lists have increased pretty dramatically. So if you were looking at the same grant list as two or three years ago, then these increases would have a much bigger impact on the mill rate than they will otherwise.
You live in Falls Village, right, Patrick?
No, I live in Salisbury.
I'm joking.
Oh, but lots of people do and love it.
Yeah, no. So do I. It's just the tax rate in Falls Village has always been noticeably.
Well, Falls Village has got this, you know, it's Sharon and Salisbury not only have an influx of very wealthy people and a lot of houses and stuff like that and a lot of businesses. And North Canaan even has business. Falls Village has very little that they can get from the big corporations. They do have wealthy people, but you need some big...
Ergo.
You need some big
My
spenders
point,
in there.
Yes.
But also Falls Village is 50% non-taxable land.
It's, yeah, that's what I mean. Everything...
Everything, my point, yes.
Everything adds up to be a nightmare there in Falls Village. All right, let's go to the opinion page here. We've got about 9 minutes left. The editorial, Road Safety, It Takes Constant Focus.
That's right. This is Road Safety Month, and there's lots of information out there about it. During COVID, I think many people sort of gave up driving and, stuck close to home. And once they had to get back out on the roads again, sort of forgot how to do it. So keep close watch on how you're operating your vehicle and how others are operating theirs, and give this a read. It pinpoints some problem areas and gives you a place to go online, nsc.org, and look at the Just Drive Pledge, and be careful while you're driving. Pay attention. I'd like to also take this moment to give gratitude to Cynthia for her many years on the radio with us, and of course at the Lakefield Journal as news editor, now on to Compass, and maybe once in a while we will get her to come on radio and talk about Compass.
Right, letters. You've got some pretty impressive letters, and
Don't we? Yeah.
I mean, they're. I think they probably all went to your word limit.
Just about, and there were some I had to go back to and say, you know, it's 500 words. Can you cut it, or do you want me to? So, yeah, we have an interesting letter from Dr. Mark Marshall at Sharon Hospital, who's Vice President of Medical Affairs, talking about the strength in the hospital's changes coming forward. So give this a read and see what you think of what he's telling us. We have Wiley Wood in Norfolk talking about points that another letter writer, who's right next to him this week, had made a couple of weeks ago, Mark Godburn. And so we have sort of dueling visions here, because Mark also wrote again in response to another rebuttal to his point. So yeah, it's and we have another one from Craig Tunsey on that subject too. Really interesting, and don't miss turning back the pages. There's always something interesting in there.
Well, I was going to go to that next. 25 years ago, April 1997, for those of you that think spring is here, a late-season storm buried the northwest corner with a foot, in some cases 2 feet, of snow from a Monday night into a Tuesday morning.
And that was just the day after Easter, and as Mrs. Gannett always referred to it, the April surprise. It was beautiful on Easter. I was sitting, I was newish, I wasn't that newish up here. I was looking at the little grass coming up through the, and then, does anyone remember, there was no power, it was vile.
It was vile, and the only thing that can be said that's good about an April storm is that it melts quicker than it does in February.
This
still
knocked
it
over
was vile.
Oh, and the trees, oh my God.
Yeah. I want to go on to the Viewpoint page, because you have a couple of interesting posts there. Of course, there's the Peter Steiner cartoon, but I like this one, Humanizing Siri and College Students Who Should Know Better.
Right, Dick Ollis writes about Yale law students who came out to protest a speaker. Now, certainly all college students, but especially law students, should understand the First Amendment, and Dick gets into the ins and outs of that and what happened in real time and what, you know, they should be thinking about. And Varjun Frangian talking about Siri and Alexa and the impact they're having on so many of our lives. So a bit tongue-in-cheek, but he's always interesting to read. Do give that a read if you know who Siri or what Siri and Alexa are.
That's right. All right. Well, Cynthia, your time to shine in the next 2 minutes with Compass.
I'm going to be very quick so that you have a chance to grill John for a moment. We sort of crowded him out today. But so I got to fulfill a dream of mine, which is to speak to Gretchen Mol, who recently bought a house here in the Tri-State region and is an actress well-known, especially for Boardwalk Empire. And is the loveliest, nicest person, and so sweet and so kind. And she actually said she used to drive by Sharon Playhouse and dream someday maybe she could actually do a theater production there. And her dream has come true. She's going to be doing a reading of a variation on The Scarlet Letter by Kate Hamill. And the director is Andris Nichols, a very beloved local person who had been in New York and Brooklyn doing theater and is back. That is sold out, of course, but the popularity of this particular outing is going to encourage other outings. Taconic Learning Center is back. There's a particularly cute class with Macy Levin and Tom Grunewald, who are going to be talking about life in the theater and using the name Frick and Frack, which, of course, we all remember from the wonderful NPR car show, and they're explaining in the article what that stands for. New poetry by Sharon Shard, and how to graft fruit trees. People act like it's really easy, but I guess we'll find out. Now I'm going to turn this over to John and let you grill him.
I'm going to grill him for just one question. John.
Yes.
Why'd you come out of retirement for it? Take on this job? I think it's absolutely terrific.
Well, you know, I said in the interview that the most important thing to me around here is, you know, is finding out what's going on. And people really, really want to know what's happening. So local journalism, community journalism is the place for that. And so the other thing was I've read the Lakeville Journal for a long time, and his story mentions that my mother-in-law, who is now deceased, but Hatsy Taylor, wrote the Hilltop Harvest column. She was very good at gardening. And so it's sort of pretty ripe in a way that I'm living in her house and working for the newspaper where she was a columnist.
Well, I think
it all comes around.
It does. That's a wonderful circle thing that we all learn to appreciate.
Well, I think it's great. Now, I haven't, you know, this is my 52nd year in local journalism. Most of it spent here in the Sharon area, about almost 30 years in the Sharon area. But so I know exactly what you mean. And you know what? There's nothing better to do than to do something that you truly enjoy. And we welcome you to the Lakeville Journal, and we welcome you here to Robin Hood Radio on these Thursday mornings.
Thank you.
And folks, we'll speak to some of you next week, and some of you not.
We'll figure it out.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. You can find the Lakeville Journal, of course, at tricornernews.com on newsstands, and you can get it with home delivery as well.